Okay, so I basically started recruiting everybody. I'm going to wait for like a few more minutes for people to show up. I bet up we're going to have like 20 people joining us, just like the second chat that we have. The record stands at 18. So welcome to this. Technically, this is the officially third chat, but unofficially, this is the fourth chat. The third chat, the September 3rd chat, is counted as third unofficial chat. So, if you count, so it will be fourth chat if you count the unofficial one. This is the third chat for official reasons. welcome to this first of a series of two chats that will be held this weekend. This is Joseph Lee from Los Angeles, and today's chat is mainly going to be about Keysoft 7.5, its features and weaknesses, where probably the majority of the thing will be focusing on Keysoft 7.5, new features that people discovered, and bugs that we found, even if we have, the latest patch. Then we might drift to Bruno and next generation mobile technology with discussions of Windows CE 6. Apparently, a new USB port is being USB standard is being standardized. It's called USB 3.0. The speed is about 10 times faster than USB 2.0. And other things of interest in regard to next generation mobile technology, such as that CE 6. And so forth. Then probably in the meantime we might ask questions and answers on the Burnout family of products. So why don't we start by introducing ourselves? Go ahead, whoever wants to fire up, fire away.
I'm Alex, in Maine in the United States. I've got a Burnout M-Power BT 32 cell display, Keysoft 7.5 build 20, the latest one. And is that it?
I'm Ann Parsons from Rochester, New York, and I'll be here for a little while. I can't stay the whole time, but I'll be here as long as I can.
I am Derek Roberts. I have a Burnout M-Power BT18, Keysoft 7.5 build 20. I prefer not to say where I live, but yeah.
And we have Eston. And whoever is the anonymous, would you mind introduce yourself? Oh, that person's gone. So welcome everybody. Where's the people joins in, probably they can introduce themselves in the beginning. This time, I have Skype opened. My ID is JOSLEE22590. And if anybody comes to Skype and chats with me, I'll try my best to redirect the audio so you guys can hear me and the other people chatting on the Skype. And if you want to text message on the Talking Community software, press F8, type the text, and press enter, and it'll show up on the text window. To read the text window, press F9. To see the list of people that are here, press F7 and arrow up and down through the list. The person who is talking will be shown on the top, followed by the moderator, which I didn't get the password. And below that will be the users. And if you press the status line command, for JAWS is insert page down, you will hear the number of people that are here. And if you press F6, you will be placed into some kind of browser that Talking Communities provides. If you want to record this, you can press Alt-R and name the chat, name the recording and press Enter. And when you're done, press Alt-R again. If you want to talk continuously without holding down the Control key, press Alt-L and you hear a blip sound. When you're done, press Alt-L again and it will release the talking mechanism. So start firing away the topics that we want to discuss today.
One of the biggest things I found in 7.5, even in build 20, contractions aren't spoken anymore. You get dot combinations, like the word WHAT. If you're typing it in UAB, it's 156AT, which is really annoying when you have a few contractions in a row and the speech is way behind you saying all these dots and you don't even know which dots it's talking about, you know, which dots it's saying that you just typed, so it doesn't help too much in proofing as you're writing it.
Personally, I haven't discovered that thingy because I mainly do not use speech. I only use Braille display. Probably because might be something wrong with the pronunciation, perhaps. That's what I'm guessing right here. Any other things? Also, one of the things that I discovered about Keysoft 7.5 is the memory usage. For example, if you have several applications running at the same time, KSW Media, IE, it seems that the Keysoft uses more virtual memory than physical memory. Like, if you run four applications like Keymail, Keyweb, KSW Media, and so forth, it'll report things like virtual memory free 2%, physical memory free 60%, and so forth. It seems that Keysoft uses the virtual memory. I understand that it might have something to do with the file size that's loaded on the media player, the size of HTML file that's loaded on the web page, and so forth. But for me, it is not that acceptable to just to run out of virtual memory when the physical memory it's quite unacceptable to see that Keysoft uses all virtual memory close to 100% when the physical memory usage is only 40%. And it seems that whenever I open IE and Keyweb and whenever I close it, it seems that the IE is still open. For example, if I start with the virtual memory free of 45% with physical memory of 75%, if I open IE with a web page loaded, it shows me 15% of virtual memory free space and about 65% free space in physical memory. If I press escape to close it, it still shows me around 25% of virtual memory space and about 68% on about 68-70% free on the physical memory. It gives me an impression that the IE is still open and it's running even though the Keysoft component is closed. Any comments?
Yeah, I've noticed the same thing. The Keysoft memory management is absolutely horrible, I mean, for a lack of a better way to say it. As soon as you reset, you'd think your virtual memory would be almost empty, but you look at it as soon as you reset and it's down to 50-some%, even though it should have just wiped everything out of virtual memory. Somehow Keysoft running with nothing else open, just Keysoft itself and CE running, takes up almost half of the virtual memory right there. I mean, I don't quite know what's going on. I don't know how controlling RAM and things like that work. I'm not into that part of programming yet, but something really ought to be done about that. I don't know if CE6 will take care of it. I mean, I know it'll expand the RAM capability, but I think it'll also help the physical memory. I'm not sure, though.
Although, why? I thought virtual memory was supposed to be like an extra for if you run out of physical memory. Why is it using virtual then?
Yeah, that's the question. Guys at Humanware really need to revamp Keysoft and upgrade CE, otherwise this whole RAM issue is getting way out of hand. You can't have a media file in your web browser open and receive email. You run out of memory. Close the web browser, you might have enough memory to receive email, but you might not. Because, as Joseph was just saying, it doesn't wipe, it doesn't dump the information from IE out of the memory as soon as you close it. It keeps it in there for some reason. And there's no free RAM utility like there is for Windows or Mac or anything.
We did discuss the virtual memory issue in the previous chats before. And the only response from Humanware at this point is possible OS upgrade. This actually leads me to start this next generation technology thread. For me, the issue with virtual memory should be the priority that should be addressed. That was a thing that I speculated ever since KeySub 7.0 came out. And I did work with some people on the burnout list back in April 2006 regarding this issue, and Andy commented that it might be due to the memory usage problem. And at the time, Andy did comment that probably the one of the developers, probably Jonathan, said that IE is getting confused about something. I don't know what that something is, but it seems that more keys, more programs are run, the more memory uses. But if those programs are exited, it seems that for some programs, the memory is not reclaimed. The notable example is IE.
I wonder, I never experimented with it, but I remember, this could be off, but I remember in Windows, I think it was 98, I have Windows 98 and XP, I remember they had, some kind of memory program, and in DOS, there was a command to, something about memory, I don't remember what it was, though.
If there is a way to free memory in DOS, I'd love to know what it is. I've got my Railroad sitting here, I'll start looking
at it. Can you repeat that? I couldn't quite tell what you were saying there.
I'm saying I'll look up how to do that with DOS, if it does exist. As Brailleout seems to be able to do some limited things with DOS,
I mean,
if that's one of them, then that'll avoid a lot of annoying little resets. But see if that is something that can be done.
Like, do you know the name of the program or the batch file that used to do that? In this kind of situation?
Yeah, well, I just remember there was some kind of, there was some memory command. Adjusted memory size, I don't remember though what deals with that.
Back to Keysoft though, aside from the memory problems and stuff that we've been having for a long time now, it actually seems extremely stable. I haven't had one incident of the Brill Note telling me when I exited an on-keyword document, you know, exception converter, access violation, reading or writing a RAM address. I've really not had any data deletion issues as have happened in the past, and everything seems to be running really well. I'm actually pretty impressed with 7.5. I wasn't happy with 17 or 18, but build 20 seems to have fixed everything, and it runs really well now, at least on mine, aside from the minor bugs that I've said and that Joseph has said, like the text thing is not being right, you know, some things are in quotes and help messages, some things aren't. Stuff like that, but as far as overall operation goes, it seems pretty stable.
I guess 7.5.20 is the stable, more stable version of Keysoft ever since Keysoft, I believe Keysoft 5.1, if I'm correct. Well, 6.1 had some issues with that, so there's 7.0 and 7.2, and probably the 7.2 was the most unstable version of Keysoft ever released. And I'm glad the human didn't repeat that mistake again, and what they didn't. Okay, on to the other things. Although still, I did send a message to some human staff about some problems with help messages. This problem still lingers with some copyright messages. If you go to information, then if you go down to the Braille translation copyright, the word 2007 is still displayed as computer Braille.
In grade 2, in UEB actually it shows up well, as do the quotes around database names and keybase. You mentioned that it's an open quote on both ends, but in UEB seems to have fixed that. I've switched to using that instead of grade 2, so I'm not sure how grade 2 shows things, but as I said, the UEB shows it
control clear.
Pretty well. I've not noticed any major display issues.
Any other comments? Probably if Richard Cavararo and others are around, probably it will be more productive these days. What other things I would like to comment? Have you guys heard of USB 3.0?
Not until you posted it on the list, but it looks really interesting.
Well,
I can't remember if it was you or who posted it, but it looks really neat. If they ever upgrade that, they can do a lot to the Braille Notes. You know, HD SD card slot, new USB, built-in Wi-Fi. They can just go for a whole new motherboard if they just wait a little bit until all these advances come out. You know, maybe give us like a 32 gig flash hard drive, stuff like that. That'd be really nice if Humanware just holds off a little bit until all this technology is commonplace, so that it doesn't cost them an arm and a leg and thereby cost us an arm and a leg. Then I think it could be really beneficial for them if they're one of the first ones to get the blindness note takers in with this latest stuff.
And one of the things that I find would be beneficial, by the way, it wasn't me, it was Sharonda Greenlaw who sent the post. One of the benefits that I can see is the recording to USB devices in high quality. And this would allow a burner to record in high fidelity onto things like USB hard drive, USB flash drive smoothly without any hits, because the data transfer rate is extremely fast, about 4.8 gigabits per second, which is approximately 600 megabytes per second, actually.
Also, something too with that, if the USB was upgraded, would that make it like accessing drives faster? Because I know sometimes it does. Like if you're loading, for instance, even something like a game or something off a I have a SanDisk Cruiser, which is a USB thumb drive, and if you try loading a game off it, it can take like several, like maybe 10 seconds. Whereas like loading it off the flash disk could take just instantly, you know. So like, is that one of the things there?
Yeah, because the data rate basically means how fast the Braille note can get information off the device. So if it speeds up to 10 times what it is now, imagine having like one of these new 32 gig flash drives with, I'd venture to guess, faster access than even the flash disk built into the Braille note right now.
That'd be totally cool.
The drive speed. The other factor is the drive speed, and whether the drive itself supports USB 3.0 at this point. Probably USB 3.0 would have significant benefits for us who are using Braille Note. I bet the best route for Humanware is to probably within like one or two or three years. Whenever they're doing the product hardware cycle, they can introduce a new hardware with around keys of 9, keys of 10 days with an updated Marvell Xscale processor, Windows CE 6, and USB 3.0, and the built-in Wi-Fi if the user wants it. That way, Humanware will be ahead of other competitors. Hi, Otis. Welcome.
Hi.
You're pretty loud on my end, though.
Same here.
Well, it's acceptable at my end. Alright, would you mind lower your microphone a bit so we can hear you better? Yeah, that's what I was thinking, to release a new hardware within 2 or 3 years from now, whenever Humanware is doing the hardware cycle with those features added.
What do you mean, hardware cycle?
Generally, about 2 to 3 years, Humanware replaced the hardware. Within 2 years of release, the Braille Note original motherboard was replaced by the current Classic motherboard. In 2005, the Classic was replaced by M-Power. And I'd bet that around 2009 or 2010, there would be another hardware with updated software inside to support features that are new, that are introduced at that time.
Part of the problem with Humanware, at least in my view, they take too long to get the current stuff. I mean, we've seen it with the PacMate Omnis. You know, they've got now MSN and CE5. Braille Note's still back in, quote-unquote, the Dark Ages. As far as the latest software and stuff goes, Humanware, I don't know, it seems to me that they should really start looking into upgrading their things more frequently, and with not so much better things, but with, I guess, more current things.
Ah, the man of the day is here. Rich, welcome. Whoa, what was that for? I agree, Alex, that Humanware is a bit in Dark Ages, but although Omni goes to CE 5.2, it still has some problems. that the virtual memory issue will not be fixed with that version, and the thing that was introduced with Windows CE 6 will not be implemented. So Omni, although it has CE 5.2, although it has Windows Mobile 6 as a banner, it will not have the latest CE. By the time Windows Mobile 7 is released next year, Omni will be behind, because CE 6 is a fundamental change to CE kernel. And whoever gets the CE 6 first, at least Windows Mobile 7 first, I think, in my opinion, would be the clear winner in the CE era.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Yeah, you bring up a good point, and I agree with you, but I wonder how long it's going to take HumanWare to finally upgrade. I mean, we saw how long it took them to get to 4.2. You know, CE5 had been out a while, and they finally announced, hey, we're going up to 4.2 from 2.12. And, I mean, that was great, but why not just go to the latest one, you know? Are they going to wait until 7 or 8 is out before we get 6? Just going by their past trends, I just wonder how long it's going to take them.
I see what you're saying, Alex. I really hope HumanWare does upgrade their OS. And also I think there's a new competitor, really, and if you're talking about Omni, Joseph, Icon, I think that's a major competitor, I think, to a lot of these, to the Bronut and the TechMate and, you know, other PDAs and stuff that's out there.
Yeah, Icon, and I forget what the other one's called, but it's the same thing. The thing by APH. Anyway, they're completely Linux-based. So you can compare them as far as features and stuff go, but as far as actually having Windows, CE, anything, they don't. Their software, their firmware, I guess I should say, has been built from the ground up with Linux, with the device in mind. Sort of like the Braille Note, except the Braille Note has Keysoft, which was devised with it in mind from the ground up, but it still has to use CE. The Icon and the, I cannot remember what that other thing's called, from LevelStar, are completely Linux-based and separate. But you're right, though. I mean, they've got Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, stereo, built-in speakers, microphone. They're small. They've got all this stuff. I mean, they can give these devices a run for their money.
And it's 30 gig drive as well. I mean, what note taker do you know? And if I'm straying off topic here, someone tell me to stop. But I mean, what device has a 30 gig drive? I mean, that's kind of, you know, definitely going to give the others a run for their money. And
the thing that gets me, though, is the Braille Note could do everything that the Icon does and a lot more, because it has a lot more room. But HumanWare doesn't want it to. Well, I can't say they don't want it to, but they're not letting it. I mean, 32 gig flash drive, not a problem anymore. Those are released. They're going up to 64 now. You've got those 30 gig micro hard drives. You've got more room in the thing. You could put a 624 or what is it, 800 something megahertz processor in there now. You could just have so much more than the Braille Note, but HumanWare is just limiting it, and it could be the Icon easily, but it's just not doing it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I gotta say, honestly, I'm glad 7.5 is fixed. I applaud HumanWare for, you know, doing the patches as quick as they could, and great job on them. But really, to me, 7.5 wasn't nothing that I really, really impressed me, to be honest.
Derek Roberts.
There we go. Now it's working. You might be talking about the voice sense, from what I heard. Still, it has Windows CE 5.0 something, except Icon, which has Linux-based. Probably a good person to ask would be Mark Mulcahy, who coincidentally worked with Blaze Engineering and worked for Braille Lite, Braille and Speak family. And he was the one who used to develop software for BNS Babbler, so he might be the right logical person to ask Icon, since he was the main programmer there. In other devices, except Bronut runs CE5, so I see what you're talking about. The 32 gig and 64 gig cards, I believe. If the USB 3.0 is introduced, then Bruno would in fact support 32 gig and 64 gig cards and USB devices. But the problem is the driver needs to be compiled to support that. The largest card in existence is 16 gigabytes. I know that many people, and some people use 8 gig cards before. I believe Kevin Chow has 8 gigs, if I'm correct. So I can see possibilities of having 32 and 64 gig cards and USB drives on the Bruno Power. And speaking of this, in case of 7.5, someone was asking the Bruno list whether the user guide ever mentions UEB and its symbols. And the thing that I know of is that calculator is updated with the UEB symbols for NAMMOTH and UK mathematics code. Is UEB found on other, is UEB mentioned, or is the actual code itself found in the other sections of the user guide besides the calculator chapter?
Have any actually used UEB? Because, I mean, here in the United States, we're not using it. I mean, I don't have anybody using it. I've messed with it, but I don't know. Was there a real... I mean, are there countries using it? Maybe there are. I just don't know, but...
I like it. It allows me to do, like...
Control clear.
I can be writing stuff, you know, and then I can just have all these math symbols, so I can do it... put, you know, math homework, things like that, into a Braille document. When I attach it to an email... it asks me if I want to convert. I say yes, convert it to a Word file, and then everything I've written in Braille is translated fine, and my math teacher says there's no problem with it. So, I mean, it works really well. I know the U.S. isn't actually officially using it yet. I don't know if they ever will, but the whole symbol is great. And as far as accessing the symbols, if you set your unit to UEB and then hit backspace with 3-5, I think it is, yeah, backspace 3-5, then you can get a complete list of UEB symbols sorted by tables, kind of like the Unicode tables, and then you can just look through them all, see what they are, except for the math, because the math throws an exception whenever you navigate to the third item.
I'll have to play with it more. So I guess that's one bug in KSL 7.5 with the exception. Maybe this was addressed before I came here, but are there any other bugs that we've seen with 7.5 build 20? I haven't found many.
I noticed that too. I noticed when you go into the Unicode thing and you go to the miscellaneous math symbols or whatever it is. How come it does that, you think? Because I noticed if you push, you go to the third option and it just instantly throws you out of the menu. And you can't get back to that.
I don't know. For a little bit I thought it was just mine because I've been sort of messing with the SYS file with the code in it. Because that's what I do. But since other people have had it too, I guess I didn't mess anything up. But I have no idea. As I said, I looked at all the code and stuff, and I haven't looked through the math exactly. But I'll look at that now, actually, and see if there's any major difference between the notation of that third entry and everything else. Maybe there's a problem in just their editing of it. But I really can't tell you why right now. As I said, I'll look at the SYS file. For anyone who's interested, by the way, if you go to your word processor, you go to keysoftsystemdisk/windows/UEBtables.sys and open it, and it'll display it fine. And it's just a big list of what the Braille Note uses when you hit that backspace 3-5.
I noticed some strange error 1101s error with Keymail when I'm using a non-SSL account. It won't receive mail, and then I do it again, it works, but it seems every time I use this one particular account, and so it happened since 7.5 build 20 with this weird error 1101 thing.
11001. This can be remedied by sending an email again. I'm using the Blind C mail account that Jim Ruby provided. I'm using SBC Global and AT&T Yahoo as my email ISP. I found that it occurs at least once every, like, 20 times, once every 20 trials. The easy way to remedy that, I found, just like Rich said, is to resend it again.
I also wonder too, has anyone used the Brawlnut with chemo on it? Well, as like how do you use the Brawlnut with Gmail? Because I've heard the different port settings, but how do you do all that? You know, how do you set it up, but how do you set up Gmail to do that?
You need to set the following conditions for Gmail. Username, you have to type in your entire mailing address and email address, including @gmail.com at the end. Password, you type your password. Pop port is 995. Pop server is pop.gmail.com. And say yes to secure connection. SMTP port is either 465 or 587. SMTP server is smtp.gmail.com and say yes to secure connection. If 465 does not work, try 587.
Addison, will Gmail just let you connect to it, or do you have to like specify an option in your account on their site, or you know how does that work?
Again, input the information that I just provided in Keymail /directory add an account.
I just mean on Gmail will it let you connect to it? Or do you have to like go into your account settings in Gmail and set that up, or you know?
Don't you, first of all, you have to sign up with Gmail, and then it'll give you the settings that I just provided earlier. Yes, you can connect to Gmail, I believe, if I'm correct. First of all, you need to sign up with Gmail to open an account and configure the account on the Brawlnut so you can send it via SSL.
I will say that with KeySoft 7.5 Build 20, I've been successfully able to use Gmail, so that was cool.
So did I.
It'll be interesting to see how email works on the icon, because I will be getting one in about a week. So, that should be cool. Alright guys, I'll be back in a bit, so.
Okay, we're done with the Gmail thingy. What was that? Let's see, what did we discuss on the list? I guess nothing was discussed really, except for a secret or two. Did you get the post about the T Braille from Brian?
Yeah, how there's a difference between what the Brawlnut calls computer braille and what's actually accepted as computer braille. I never knew all that. I just go by what the Brawlnut calls it, though it's a whole lot easier. And it works really well for me. As I said, until UEB came along, it's the only way I could do math on the Brawlnut.
Is there a way to access the other version of the computer braille on the Brawlnut, or has that not been done yet?
No, you can only access the version it has, which is everything has one cell. It can't translate anything else. Question though, has anyone figured out, probably not, but has anyone figured out how you could put up another braille table? Well, not so much a braille table, but like a symbol list. Like UEB has all his symbols and stuff, and it gets them from uebtables.sys. Is there a way I could do that for other common things I use, like HTML editing, if I could just insert, you know, less A space href equals quote quote greater in, you know, one or two keystrokes instead of a whole bunch? That'd be great. I mean, if anyone's figured out how to build another Braille table that can be accessed through options, Braille display settings, I guess Braille settings now as of 7.5, let me know, because I'd really like to be able to do something like that.
That'd be nice to have a macro, kind of like what the Braille Speak did, was that, you know, the pressing the J chord and pushing a letter or whatever that would insert that.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, you can, I guess not exactly though, because I've already tried that with the Unicode tables. I've tried putting a bunch more symbols in the end of the Unicode. I could get it to show another Unicode subtable. I called it test. But when I started adding more hex values, because the Unicode tables are basically set up into big sections. Each section is a table that you see when you insert a Unicode character. And then in those, every entry is preceded by a hexadecimal number, 0x, and then the number itself in hex. And then following that is the text that you see when you go to insert that. And I never actually found the key characters or anything, like what is inserted when you insert them, but that's okay. Anyway, I tried that and it didn't work too well, so I don't think macros are going to be possible. But even if I could go to insert, not insert, but the UEB table list, again, backspace with 3.5, and then go down to like an HTML table, press enter on that and select from, you know, a link or table or basic file template, stuff like that. And as soon as I pressed enter, it would insert a whole bunch of text, like it does right now with UEB. You know, you can insert 2 to 3 cell symbols at once by just hitting enter. As I said, if anyone's figured out how to do that, let me know.
Also, too, is there a way, I know because for things in like even in UEB, like I think it's left and right parentheses and other things like that have 2-cell display. Like, you've got 2-cell display names. Is there a way to do that in the Brunel? Because I know I tried assigning a key, not key, a dot combination for displaying it, and it only accepts 1 cell. So is there a way to show 2 or more for that?
No, I think you're mixing up UEB and Computer Braille, or Grade 2 and Computer Braille. I can't remember what you said you were using. But UEB will have, like, a left parenthesis is .5 and then 1, 2, 6 together. A right parenthesis is .5, 3, 4, 5. But you can't display those as 1 unless you have your display set to Computer Braille and your entry set to UEB. Then whatever you type in UEB will be displayed as Computer Braille. You can do it vice versa. You can type in Computer Braille or, you know, Grade 1 or Grade 2, whichever, and have it displayed as UEB. And I did that for a while to learn the code. But whatever setting you have, keyboard and braille settings are going to be different, so you can type in one and see in another one. I say see, quote unquote, you know what I mean. But it's going to display in whatever code it's in, and there's really not much of a way to change it unless you're in computer braille. I don't think, anyway. As I said, I'm still trying to figure out exactly how this whole UEB table things work, so that I can quote-unquote hack it to get a new display table going, but don't think it's possible to change how it's displayed, at least not yet.
My hypothesis is that since UEB has its own table, just like Unicode tables, my hypothesis would be to assign a keystroke for that particular character or character set, or a bunch of characters like less than HTML, greater than, and so forth, like that. My idea would be to assign a keystroke for that, leave the display alone. So, example, if I press 1, 2, 6, 8, it'll insert. Actually, if I press enter with H, it'll insert H less than HTML, greater than. So my hypothesis is that since UEB has the table just like Unicode, if a user assigns a keystroke for a particular combination of Unicode macro, then they'll be able to insert the UEB character without having to reference the table itself.
Well, I looked at that, but there's no no UEB anything in the dictionaries folder. The only thing I found was the table.sys in the Keysoft system disk /Windows directory. But the dictionaries folder doesn't hold anything mentioning UEB. It still has the Unicode tables, which is what I've been playing with before 7.5, and they're still there, but they don't help. As I said, I don't think I can get it to insert more than one character at a time. But there's no mention of UEB at all in there. I'm not sure where it's getting it. It must be pulling it from Keysoft /Windows, but I'm not quite sure how it's working.
Would upgrading Windows CE to like version 6 or whatever, would that enhance the Java support for that? Or is it like an IE thing?
According to Microsoft, I think it was Jonathan and Marie sent me a link, and it described what CE4.2 and with its version of IE was supposed to be able to do with JavaScript, and it can do a lot more than the Remote actually can do. It should be able to support on-change, on-focus, on-blur, a whole bunch of event handlers that just don't work right now with it. I don't know if it would help or not, but I think it might be a Keysoft version of IE problem more than CE itself.
What's on blur?
When you're typing in a text field or something and you go away from it, that's on blur. So if you're typing in something and then you move your mouse out of that form, then it triggers on blur. On focus is just the opposite, when you put your focus on a form field or something. There are a bunch more, but that's starting to get off topic, so probably shouldn't go there right now.
Probably it's not off topic at all. It's related to next generation technology, Dread. I haven't found the. I just changed it, my English code to UEB. But how do I get to the UEB tables? Not the SWS file, but to the English tables in the keyword.
You have to be in a Braille file. You have to make sure that both your keyboard and Braille settings are set to UEB, and then, well, grade 2, and then your Braille code is UEB. And then, as I said, you have to be in a Braille file. And then backspace with 3.5 should bring it up.
Also, to bring up something else on the list that had been talked about, someone, I think it was Sharon Campbell, I don't know, but someone put up an article about HumanWare, quote-unquote, opening the door for something, I don't remember what it was, something about, like, modern technology or something, I don't know. But you don't have any more information on that? Because that was kind of like a big thing on the list, on the burnt list, so yeah.
Yeah, that's something I'm really worried about. I mean, I read the whole thing, and HumanWare's going on and on about how, yeah, we're going to make the BlackBerry accessible, and we're going to really start focusing on making off-the-shelf technology accessible to the blind, and all good and well, but first, that's what Freedom Scientific is for. And second, what about the products they already have? The Braille Notes, the Smart Views, I don't use, you know, many of their other devices, but all that stuff that they've already got that isn't off the shelf, that is by them, that is made completely by them for blind people, completely customized for them, which is why I got the Braille Note in the first place instead of something else. I mean, I've said all this on the list anyway, so most of you guys know it, but it really seems like their complete mission is changing, and for one thing, they're not telling any of their customers about it, but for another thing, it seems like, you know, what's going to happen then with the current stuff, and what's going to happen with future upgrades to the Braille Notes? Are they just going to phase them out like they did the Classic, or what?
Probably. If HumanWare's overall goal is to make, to allow blind people to go to people to compete in the sight world, then HumanWare should have right to develop Braille Note to suit that goal. To allow a Braille Note to allow a blind person to complete the sight world, for Braille Note means opening up the software itself, opening up the actual platform, so that third-party software can be installed, thereby allowing Braille Note users to effectively work in a sighted environment, just like other sighted people. That would be crucial step for HumanWare, if I'm correct. And by the way, I found the UEB table.
Absolutely, it would. I mean, the SDK is, I'm not going to say necessary, but I mean, it helps so much. You know, we've got people who use these things who are programmers, who are, you know, computer science, who are so many different things that they would know what they're doing, and they could write programs for the Braille Note. You know, the HumanWare America just hosts this central message board, anyone could go on and say, hey, I really need to be able to do X, Y, and Z for my job. You know, I need my brain load to be able to do this. Can anyone give me a hand? And then whether it's paid or free, you know, it all depends on the developer, but someone who knows how to do it could just write them the program, or at least point them in the right direction, you know, start the ball rolling on it. And you could have programmers collaborating from all over the place. That's what the web is for, partially. And the functionality of the Braille notes could just explode. I mean, especially if they go up to 6, then there's almost no limitation as far as RAM goes and things. If they upgrade our internals and all that, then we're all set. You know, people can make whatever they want. The Braille note will probably be able to handle it.
I wonder too how the developers offer, like, people like the Sendero. I wonder how they get that. It's like, I wonder if maybe they might have like an SDK or something. Still kind of like in testing. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, sort of kind of. I wondered about that. I thought for a long time they did, but I don't know, because then people said, you know, on the GPS list, they're saying, well, this help message in GPS isn't quite right. And Sendero, instead of saying, all right, we'll get on that, they said, no, we have to wait for HumanWare to fix it. So now I'm not quite sure what Sendero and HumanWare are doing. I mean, I thought Sendero could write software, but maybe they're just writing the underlying software and having HumanWare write the Keysoft part of it. I don't know.
And like having them create a user-friendly interface, kind of what they're doing with like IE and some things like that?
In a way. I mean, I'm not quite sure how it all works, and maybe there are components of... I'll bet, actually, that there are components of Keysoft that Sendero has access to, like input-output stream and things like that. But there must be other things. Help must be some deep internal thing that Sendero isn't licensed to access and can't know how to use. Must be buried inside Keysoft.exe itself. I'd venture to guess that nothing is concrete here. Don't quote me on any of this. But it sort of makes sense that way.
Hi, Luis. Welcome. And I guess nobody wants to reverse engineer a Keysoft.exe file for sure. Nobody really wants to do that.
And what if I knew how?
Probably the best bet is to run debugger on Hyper Terminal from the bootloader, and that's it. Luis, do you have any comments, like questions to make, or a general introduction about yourself? If your mic is working today.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Is this specifically a Braille note discussion?
Sort of. So everything about Braille note. Probably. Did you hear the two tests that I conducted in July, by the way?
No, I didn't.
They are located at the Blind Geek Zone site at www.blind-geek-zone.net. Then go to audio link, and it should be there under other people's files.
Sorry to jump back in here, but Joseph, you mentioned debugger a second ago. Do you still have one of those upgrade logs? On the list, you said if anyone wanted one to email you, could you send me one of those?
Sure. I can send you one of those. Let's see, since my desktop is somewhat in its loop of problems, I have to install Kivio on my Vista computer, use Bluetooth, and probably not a good idea, because I've used Hyper Terminal to obtain that debug information. And yes, I still have that debug file with me. Is in the text format. Sure, I will send it to you in email form. If I could just find your email address. It's in my email archive, so I'll be able to find it easily.
Great, thanks.
Hi, Matt. Welcome. The file has all the options for the bootloader, as well as how the actual update process are done. So it says I'm loading. Erasing, verification complete, now programming flash, etc.
Can I have that too? The debug log file thing?
Sure, I'll send you both copies. I'll send you both of you a copy of it. Matt, do you want it too?
I couldn't quite get the last part of the message there. Can you repeat that?
Sure. I was away from the microphone. Matthew Horspool, are you here? You got 5 people now with me recording the whole thing.
Just to check, speaking of Matthew Horspool, I tried accessing this site. I'm not sure if I got the right address or not. It just gave me the HTTP 403 forbidden message. Is that thehorspools.com, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And there is nothing up there at the moment. It's one of these things that I'm working on, but school and things have sort of taken priority, so that's what's the situation with that. Email should still work.
I was wondering how come it said HTTP 403. It didn't do that. I tried accessing your site a couple of months ago, I think it was, and it worked, but now it says forbidden.
Yeah, don't worry about that. That's I know about it. I just don't see the point in fixing it with yet another message that says it's under construction. So that's the situation there. Joseph, what were you saying about debug file? I use debug mode, but I don't know about a debug file.
What I've done is I use debug so the hyper terminal can recognize it, and I captured the text that was coming in through the terminal screen. And I saved this capture file, and I have it on my burner note. It includes information about the bootloader options and debug option, as well as the keys of upgrade option, keys upgrade process, including a programming flash, arrays verification complete, and so forth. Some values are in hexadecimal.
Right. Yeah. I need to run that. I need to run a debug with text capturing on at some point. I did it with the DeckTalk Express, actually. It was kind of cool.
You mean like you were able to run DeckTalk Express in the Braille note, or do you mean DeckTalk Express has a debug feature?
No, I connected a DeckTalk Express via the serial port to the computer with it switched off, started up a hyper-terminal connection, set it to capture text, and then turned the DeckTalk Express on, and it sent a load of firmware information. It wasn't readable, but it sent the firmware information. And because it wasn't readable, I then sent it the version speak command, and it told me what version of the firmware was on the unit.
Question here. Keysoft has debug mode, and I don't have a serial cable with me, and my computer at home doesn't have a serial port, so I can't really do it. My Bluetooth is completely messed up. More on that in a minute. But would this debug thing tell you, for instance, when you enter Internet Explorer and then close it, would it tell you what it's doing with the memory so we can see if it's actually being dumped, or, you know, what's going on with that? Is that something that's possible?
No, not at this point. The debug file does not show you the what applications are open, what application uses some sort of memory. But it does tell you what burn is doing when powered on, and any error messages that it will not technically show you the error message, but whenever some kind of event happens, it'll show that event. The last stage the keys of loading process is what's called Explorer version 2.0. And that is the last stage that runs before Keysoft runs. So it'll show you what's happening. It'll show you things like initializing, bro display initializing, bro display complete, battery charging threat started, and so forth. Derek, Alex, I just sent you an email with the capture.txt as an attachment.
Oh, can you, sorry, Joseph, I should have asked earlier, can you drop that to me as well, please, because I'd be interested to see it. And I think it's fair to say, although I'm certainly not saying that we shouldn't use it, because I think debug mode is useful, but I think it's safe to say that Humanware didn't intend it for consumer use.
For me, though, I'm not sure there's anything around this, but currently I'm using Hotmail, and for some reason, it doesn't show attachments. Well, it shows them. I mean, it says this message contains attachments. For instance, it might say this message contains attachments, debuglog.txt, or whatever the name is. But there's no link or a download button or anything. And you actually have to go into the view header option in Hotmail to view, to even know that the attachments are there. So, I don't know, is there a way, does anyone have Hotmail, is there a way around that?
I don't know, someone uses Hotmail. I forgot the person's name, but I know that someone uses it. And Matt, I just sent you the debug file. It's some information are in hexadecimal code. The debug probably requires a COM port, a serial connection. Either serial Bluetooth might work, if I'm right. It is a 100. It requires 15,200 bots per second. And parity none, 8 database, 1 stop bits, hardware handshaking. And when you set it that way, and if you set it to capture text, as soon as you press reset with .46JL, it will start by showing loading configuration data, done, ... And that starts the debug process. Well, it's 1 o'clock already. Any other questions or comments on KeySoft 7.5, next generation technology, and all about Bronaut?
Yeah, Joseph, I'm looking at this log and it's really cool. But item 7 says perform a RAM test. I've never seen any of this stuff in the bootloader. I mean, where's all this coming from? You can also adjust the boot device settings, the order devices to look at for its booting, you know, all that stuff. I mean, I've never seen any of this before, and it looks almost like Windows BIOS. You know, where is all this stored, and how can we access it, if at all?
There are two versions. The thing that is displayed on Braille for Bruno is a simplified version necessary for updating KeySoft and bootloader and to start KeySoft. The one that is displayed on the screen, the log file, is intended to be used by a software engineer to perform various things like CRC check, to perform CRC check, RAM, to perform RAM test, and so forth. And I think it is used at Humanware headquarters, and the thing that number 1 through 7 is intended to be used just like a console application. So whenever the character that's typed on the console keyboard will be redirected at Bronaut so it can perform it.
So if I enter bootloader and press R, what's going to happen?
No, it is not. The R and C and number 1 through 7, space, etc., that is used, I believe it's used by Humanware at Humanware headquarters. If the Bruno is attached to some kind of a computer with a console on it, so whatever key that you press on the console window will be redirected to the Bruno, and the output will be displayed on the screen. If you go to bootloader on the Bruno end, if you try to press R, it'll give you error beep. The one that is displayed on the Bruno display is a simplified version of it. So one on the console keyboard will be .1 or 1. It says update Windows CE. Technically, it's update KeySoft. Number 2 is same, update bootloader, and update bootloader from an SD card, and so forth. So the R, C, numbers 4 through 7 is only available, if I'm correct, when a Bruno is attached to a special computer with a console window on it, which is used by Humanware development team at New Zealand, which is used for advanced troubleshooting purposes, for like RAM diagnosis and so forth. So whatever that is pressed on the key on the console computer will be redirected to the Braille note. In New Zealand, the one that is displayed on the Braille display, the update key soft update bootloader, is for updating purposes. It's not meant to be used by ordinary users. The update move, go to console, reset everything back to default. That is, I believe, it's not meant for ordinary users. It's meant for humanware developers to troubleshoot certain things.
Although, I noticed it's kind of like a weird thing, but I noticed that with the Braille and Speak, you could hook it up, and you could go to Hyperterminal and type things into on your PC keyboard, and it would kind of be redirected. I don't intend to do this, but could that be used as a console using Hyperterminal with the PC keyboard?
I've tried that, and it does not work. Because in this kind of scenario, for Braille notes, it probably requires a specific console computer to actually redirect the keystrokes on the computer keyboard to the Braille note. And besides, the thing is copyrighted by Intel Corporation, so that might be it. Hi, Albert. Welcome. Oh, he's gone. For some odd reasons.
I think it might also be interesting to have, kind of funny, maybe, to have access to the Braille notes, I'm not sure if this is a KNG thing, but to have access to the tones, you know, like when you update the bootloader or whatever, it makes like the all that type stuff. Interesting to have access to that.
Oh yes, now I'm talking. That's good. Those tones are down on the PC speaker, or the closest thing to the PC speaker that there is. I know what you're on about. And yeah, they're done on the PC speaker, I think. And the reset tones and all the other tones are done on the... they're actually WAV files, as of Keysoft 7, because they were initially generated by Keynote, but then when they switched to Eloquence, they couldn't rely on Keynote generating the tones, so they put them in WAV files, which are in the Windows folder. But I'm just wondering, it may have been answered already, but the debug thing, is it possible to connect it up via Hyperterminal and send the digits away?
Actually, that was answered already. I guess not. They were saying it has been maybe by like a certain specialized console. I don't know. But yeah.
And that's what I'm thinking. Like a specialized console is located at Humanware in New Zealand. Well, did you get the email, Matt?
I did. I'm looking through the file now. Specialized console. I'm wondering if the Keynote Companion manual might tell me anything. And obviously, the Keynote Companion was much older than the Braille note, but that might reveal a few things.
Do you have one?
I have the Keynote Companion. I have the manual for the Keynote Companion on about how many tapes was it? It was loads of tapes. Keysoft PT version 2.2, I think.
I was wondering, Matt, did you ever run Keysoft Gold for the PC? Like Keysoft Gold demo version, I think it was version 2? I don't remember.
Don't quite know what you're asking. I've ran Keysoft version 2. In fact, I have a Keynote Companion here where I accidentally installed the Braille Companion Keysoft version on a Keynote Companion. That was kind of cool. The problem is I don't have the original Keynote Companion software disk anymore. But yeah, I've ran that before. Yeah.
I think because I was having a problem with it running on the PC. I found just maybe close to the beginning of 2007, this year ago, I found Keysoft Gold version 2, a demo on Humanware's site. I was like, hey, whatever, you know, see what it was like back then. And I downloaded it and unzipped it and everything, and first the installer wouldn't run. Well, it ran, but it wouldn't do anything. it said it didn't, it couldn't find an output port or something, which for me, I'm wondering then what the whole thing was in having a software synthesizer while I needed an output port. Anyway, though, I'm trying to run Keysoft Gold, the actual program, which for some reason doesn't reflect its Keysoft Gold, which is supposed to be Keynote Gold with it. It says invalid INS file. S is in Sierra. And so I went through the directory and noticed there were several INS files. I went through them and I had like a lot of notes. They had a lot of Keysoft settings, like where the printer would be stored and other things like that. So I didn't know if that's like a computer-specific thing that it scans your computer, looks for it or not, but yeah, it wouldn't run.
I'm not sure, but I think you and Matthew might be talking about two different things. See, the only thing that comes to mind when you say Keysoft Gold is Keynote Gold. And I know that's the synthesizer on the Braille Note, but it was also an old synthesizer for a PC that spoke with the Keynote Gold voice. And I discovered that and tried to install it, but it said it's not a valid Win32 application. I looked, and apparently it's for Windows 3.1, 95, and I think 98. And I was running XP, so, you know, that sort of explained that. But I have heard about a Keysoft version for the computer that ran in DOS, and apparently it allowed you to get the menu structures and stuff like Keysoft has on a PC. I haven't seen that for a long time. I guess it was discontinued because it wasn't supported by modern operating systems. If anybody knows anything about that, though, that seems like an interesting thing to play with. Might make some things a lot easier on a computer.
I know that it was on the HumanWare website, but I can't tell you anymore. Listen, I need to run downstairs a second and go on the other machine. But I'll be right back.
There is a Keysoft for DOS. There was, actually, on the HumanWare website. And I did download the manual for Keysoft for DOS. I don't have it because I deleted it right now. Actually, Keysoft. Yeah, the Keysoft is still here, except it's in CE form, perhaps. Probably you might ask, why are we off topic? We are not off topic at all. We're talking about everything that has to do with Braille Note and Keysoft, so. Well, the extension to the Braille Note talk is actually Keysoft, so. I think this is valid, in my opinion. We have three people here, although not many people joined us today. There were so many technical chat here. I bet tomorrow many people will join us. Probably tomorrow night, many people will join us. And on Monday, probably others who were here today or tomorrow will be joining us for the tech talk. And I bet if anybody wants it, then I can host another bonus chat for an hour after that. Any other comments?
Also, just to for more on Keysoft too. I do have the file, the zip file for Keysoft, supposedly Keysoft Gold, which I guess is Keysoft with Keynote Gold built into it. The Keynote Gold speech. Trying to think. I don't have a way of emailing it to you as an attachment to anyone. Because I guess, I'm not sure if it's a toolbar thing or what, but Hotmail doesn't have an option that I can tell of, or that I can see in the QWeb for seeing and receiving attachments. So, I don't know, maybe the PHP script.
If it doesn't, run on a computer, though, it's not too much point in using it. I'll Google it, though, and see what people say about it, see if I can find another download of it. And I'll let you know if I ever get that stupid PHP script working. Hope I do, but the administrator of the server is probably going to have me password protect the page so that people can't just waltz in and upload viruses and stuff and, you know, crash my thing. Not saying anyone I know would do that, but you never know who might find it.
Try to log into my account and see if you can grab the script there. I don't know though if it would show it or not, but it might.
Yeah, I'm going to try that. Not sure when I'll have an opportunity. Well, alright, yeah, sorry, anyway. Not sure when I can, but I'm going to give that a try. As I said, I'm not too sure if I'll do it, but KeyWeb seems to like to download absolutely every file it uses. Like, every PHP and JS and everything, so I'll probably find it somewhere in my, in the temporary files.
And I don't know if you still have my info or not, but I could re-email you that if you want.
No, I've still got it. One of my friends, though, just told me that he knows someone who knows PHP incredibly well, so I'm just going to talk to him before I have to try and figure out all this script stuff on my own, because I can tell you right now that a website like that is going to have amazingly complex PHP stuff that I'm not going to be able to decode really easily. I'll do it if I have to, but I can talk to this other guy first and see if he can just tell me a simple way to do it. I've thought of that before. Give him a call after I leave here. Also, what time is the chat tomorrow?
5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain. This is for benefit for the New Zealand and Australians, which will be, if I'm correct, it will be 12 p.m. for New Zealand and 10 a.m. for Australia.
Great, I can make it then.
Okay, I'm going to write the notes down, so that'll be it. Any more questions or comments? That's it? This is the shortest chat that I ever conducted.
I do have a question, though. Just wondering, okay, I wonder why HumanWare why they picked a 128 megabyte flash disk. I mean, because even in 2005, it's still a pretty small thing. I mean, they're not supposed to be a PDA and all, but it's kind of, you know, for even things like if you want to record a memo, which you're surely probably supposed to store that on a different drive, but that can take up a lot. Like, it would be really nice if you could record an OGG, like, record and play an OGG, because I would think OGG could probably be, like, the new universal standard, because it's, you know, like, small but high quality, but, yeah, it would be kind of cool.
Yeah, HumanWare does a lot of things I wonder about. They really should upgrade a lot of stuff, and they should have done it last year, you know. I mean, actually, I think it was at the second chat, I want to say, when we had, I think, Mickey Quenzer from HumanWare was talking with us, and he said as far as OGG goes, it'd be a simple thing of finding a codec to give Windows, well, I guess KSW Media in this case, and they said they were working on that, so it seems like that'd be an easy enough thing to do, and they were looking into it, so that sounds pretty promising. Then again, I asked someone about a dictionary and SDK, what was it, temperature converter, I think, back in 04? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 04. They got an email back a few days later that said, oh, those have been in the works for a while, they're coming really soon. Dictionary came out this year, and we've never seen a temperature converter. So, I don't know, I don't really trust their estimates of time anymore.
The temperature converter, I believe, is most likely integrated into Key Plus, if I'm correct. Yes, it was second chat on July 13th with Maurice Sloan. Like that.
For me, though, I have SoundForge version 6. That comes with OGG. I don't know if that would be compatible or not, but it can open and save. It can open, save, and play OGG files. I don't know if they can work with that or not.
The codec they were talking about was a codec for Windows Media Player for Pocket PC.
I didn't know if they could, like, adapt it or something, because it's really cool. I don't know. Maybe if one of the developers can take that, but yeah.
I doubt it. I mean, Windows Media Player for a PC, and I think Windows Media for a PDA, not sure though, can do OGG. So, yeah, you can? All right. Yeah, so apparently we're running Windows Mobile, what, 5?
Yep.
Yeah, 5. Windows Mobile 5 can do OGG, so I don't see why Windows Media Player, because basically all KSW Media is an adapted Windows Media Player, just as KeyWeb is an adapted IE. I don't see why KSW Media can't do it, and as I guess it was Maurice said, it'd be a simple matter of just finding the codec that they use and basically just tossing it right into the DLL file of BrailleNote. So it shouldn't be that big a deal, but a lot of things shouldn't be a big deal that we haven't seen yet in the BrailleNote, so I don't know what HumanWare is doing about that. Not sure I trust them too much, but it's just me.
We are using Windows Mobile 2003. And the version of Media Player that comes with Mobile 2003 is Player 9.
Player 9, is that like, I'm not sure really if version numbers are the same here, but is that also, could that be, if it was the regular version, would that be Windows Media Player 9? Or is that an adopt version number? Yeah.
It is based on Windows Media Player 9 for Windows. It is the Pocket PC version of WMP9.
Huh. Well, they have like 10 and 11 out. Yeah. That cover, that could probably also be a CE upgrade too.
Yeah, for PCs, they've got 11, and then they've got an adapted 11 for Vista, but for PDAs, 10's the latest one, as far as I know.
It's still updated, though. Maybe that one can play OGG. I don't know.
It can, but the thing is, yet again, hey, look at this. If we had an SDK, we'd be all set, because someone could just take 10, adapt it for Keysoft, because then people would actually know how to do it, and then there you go. You know, they release it. As I said, it might cost everyone something to download it. It might not, depending on the developer. But it's just really frustrating because there's so much that could be really simply implemented for Keysoft, but no one can do it. I mean, you might even have someone at Microsoft who worked with Windows Mobile, who knows exactly what they're doing. They get a hold of this Keysoft thing. You know, they've got some spare time on their hands. Maybe they've got a relative with a BrailleNote or something. They can adapt it because they know exactly how to do it. I mean, the possibilities are so great with an SDK. But, you know, as far as I know, and of course HumanWare isn't going to tell us anything of what they're doing for Keysoft, and I understand that. You know, it's a basic business practice. If they did, then other people would know, competing companies would know, and they could do something better. But if they do, basically they have to either include that codec or update to Windows Mobile, to Windows CE 5 or 6 before they can update to Media 10.
Wonder though, why do they have that practice though? I mean, probably someone from like, maybe someone from GW Micro or FS has a BrailleNote, you know? And they're keeping up with all that, so if that is the case, then what's the whole point of really keeping that kind of behind the scenes?
In economics, this is called a competition. Competition is the practice of competing for a segment of a market. Historically, companies used to put what's called code names to not tell another company what they're doing. Sometimes it's called probably trade secret, if I understand the economic term right, or it might be closed source, meaning that the source code is not publicly revealed.
To break in here, I just got an email, and it looks like tomorrow's chat is going to interfere, well, it's going to be an hour after the GPS chat starts. So if we don't have a lot of people, don't be too surprised, because some of them might be at the GPS chat too. I didn't even think about that, but I was just looking at the email from Chris Grabowski. So you might not have quite as many people as we'd like to.
Oh yeah, I should understand that. I forgot about that. Thanks for telling me. I don't know whether I'll be interfering with that. Oh well, if there are less people tomorrow, then probably Monday there'll be full house in the Tech Talk room then. The greatest time to make impact is when there are over 40 or 50 people present.
Yeah, also, maybe we can get some of the Humanware staff to stick around after the 7.5 presentation so we can tell them more about, like, some of the bugs in Keysoft and just keep pressing for the stuff that we want to see. I mean, there's no other way to get a company to do what the customers want than to keep telling them, you know? I mean, if a bunch of us want an SDK, then we've got to just keep saying it over and over again. And who knows, eventually they might actually listen. Or if we want, you know, the firmware for the SD card slot updated to support HC. Or, I mean, there's so many things that I know I can think of that either I want or that I've heard other people want on the Braille notes. But Humanware is a big company. It's not going to do anything unless it keeps hearing that those are still being requested. So if we can just grab some of the Humanware staff after their presentation, hopefully I can make it to that too. But if we can do that, then that'd be ideal.
Maybe like what they're doing with Yahoo. You know, like they have all these sites up there where they have an ad saying sign in our accessibility petition.
Perhaps. Mike Gibson will be here. We'll be there Monday. As well as Dan Brown, a person from technical support. Or you might ask Mike Gibson, since he's the blindness product specialist, and he can become a link for us between users and the Humanware staff. And Dan Brown can become a link between users and technical support staff. Oh, also, are there other questions before we close the chat for now?
Has anyone had anything with, like, playing CDs, like, or CD audio type stuff? Just wondering.
I don't know. Since CD audio is included in different formats than a CD data CD, there was a post, I believe it was this year or last year, there was a post that someone said a USB CD-ROM has been found to work with Braille Notes. I forgot the post, but I think I have it somewhere on my own archive, or I have to search on the list archive, that said that there is a CD drive that a user found that it works with Braille Note. I forgot what it's called, but I definitely have seen it before.
That was me, I think. I was at a friend's house once, and he's a huge computer geek type person, and he had, instead of just a regular USB drive, he had a CD drive in his computer, and then he had a few more laying around, and they were just standard drives, but he stuck them in some enclosures, and then I'm not quite sure how he had the whole thing set up, but anyway, he unplugged one of the USB cords, and as I said, it was just a standard old drive inside an enclosure. I plugged it into my M-Power. This was back with Keysoft 7, I want to say it was 7, or maybe 7.2. Nothing happened, so I reset once, like you have to do with some thumb drives, and then it worked fine, and I could read all the MP3s off a CD in there. The only other thing they really have to do with CD drives, though, is get CDA files to work. And I know those are just pointing to the locations of songs, but it'd be really nice if you could just stick a regular audio CD in there and have the Braille Note play it in the background. You know, just really get a lot more support for playlisting and for audio CDs. That'd be nice, but yeah, it seems like it seems like a lot of CD drives, if you just stick them in an enclosure, it should work. You might have to reset once to get it to be recognized, but it should be recognized eventually.
I'll try that then, because I have a CD burner, actually, and for an enclosure, a couple of years ago that
before that was kind of a standard thing with the computer. I had like a CDRW or whatever it is, burner that can actually, yeah. So try that out and see how it works. Because I have QSL 7.5, yeah.
Yeah, give it a try. I mean, so all you really need is the thing in the USB enclosure and any power cables it might require. And then just plug it into your M-Power. I mean, you really can't break anything just doing something like that. You know, it's not going to hurt anything, really. So give it a shot. Let us know how it works.
Cool. Also, just another suggestion. I don't know if we're taking those or not, but it would be cool if the M-Power could do... if there was a sort of key zip, if you know what I mean. Not a game engine. They already have one of those, but... zip as in WinZip type thing. I know they already have the thing to unpack a book, or to unpack a zip file like you'd unpack a book. But as far as I know, that can only go for, I think it's the main folder. I don't remember. I tried unpacking the converter.zip, and it gave me an error code. I don't know what deals with that, but I looked at it with WinZip. And it said it was the files were in a subfolder, and that one thing can totally ruin it. You know, it'll just say unable to unpack book, share file, error code, whatever. You know, I mean, I was able to get the files, but it's been kind of frustrating. And then plus, it meant to be able to zip things. Yeah.
Yeah, just mark them. Hit enter backspace with Z. And then if you've selected a zip file, it'll say unzip it to where. And then mark a bunch of files, and if none of them are zips, are zip files already, then it'll say zip files to which drive folder in the file name. I mean, that'd be perfect, you know? Wouldn't be that hard to do, because XP has zip built in, so it's not like it's humanware would have to buy it anymore. It's basically free technology as far as I know. That doesn't actually exist, by the way. I'm just saying that'd be a perfect scenario for it to happen. That'd be... key combo would make sense and everything. It would work fine. But, again, we run into...
that is something, too, because they're probably behind the competition now. Because I think it was the BrailleSense, I think? I don't know. I was just doing a Google search around... maybe 2006? Early 2006, I think it was. For a zip... utility for the Braille node. And I found, I don't remember where it was, but I found something that was saying now your BrailleSense has a zip utility in the file manager. And if that's accurate, that's been around for a year now. A year and maybe 4 months. I don't know. But yeah.
That zip utility was present ever since 2003, when BrailleSense first came out. In Korea, of course. The other feature that I'd like to add is the ability to have shortcuts for directory option and file manager, so directory can emulate Windows Explorer. Currently, if files are open in directory from directory option, if you switch to other key subprogram, the next time you go back to the file, if you press escape, it won't go back to the direct file list. It will just go back to keyword list or something like that, keyword menu or something like that. If there's a separate hotkey for directory option, then we can open another file from the directory, or we can just press escape. Even though if it says keyword menu, we can go back to direct option, select another file, and so forth.
I agree completely. Also, one more thing. I'd like to be able to associate file extensions with programs. Like, I do a lot of stuff with .html, .js, .php.
I think you're having a problem with the control key there. It said .ph, and it just cut off. I don't know.
All right. I tried locking it. I don't know what's going on with this control key, but... oops. Oh, well. Anyway... there are a lot of strange file extensions that I work with a lot, .java, .php, .cpp, .js, all that stuff. And, of course, KeyWeb's only KeyWeb. Keyword's only going to recognize things like .txt, .doc, .wp5, .kwb, .kwt, and I think that's about it. .rtf, .brf, .brl. But none of the file extensions I work with a lot that can be opened from the directory because Brilliant doesn't know what to do with them. So if we were able to tell keyword, maybe under setup options, you know, open any .java file with keyword, you know, stuff like that, that'd be a lot better than what it is right now. Yeah. That turn off. Wonderful. How do you unlock this thing? And my Jaws demo's gone. Alright, I think I'm just going to take off then, because I think I'm blocking everyone else from talking. I think I broke his keyboard too. Stupid control key. But, wow, that's really odd. Alright, so I guess I'll see you guys tomorrow. Can I get NVDA up? Because I'm not even sure if it's exited. No NVDA. No, let's try this. Sorry about this, guys. Hold on a second.
Wow.
Okay. I think I locked the talk key, and your control key isn't working. You mind closing that chat client? Since screen reading isn't working, gotta get NVDA.
Also, to go along with the associating files, it would be nice to. I'm kind of agreeing with that because I play around with the games a lot, and at the moment games aren't in the associated list or whatever. So you can't just push enter on like a Z5 or Z8, whatever game, and launch it. It just gives you the error tone. You have to go to the game's program, select things, you know, like select your folder and drive and all that. It would be nice to have just a shortcut like that.
I understand. Probably the best bet is to create file option menu for directory for certain files. So user can press backspace all and access file option menu in the given file and select, among other things, associate with different program, convert file from one type to another, zip/unzip, or send, or and so forth, and to also put move file, protection, delete, erase file, and copy file, and so forth. And under folder list, one can have options, under file option menu, backspace all, one can have create new subfolder, zip, create a zip/unzip, the zip file based on the folder's content, and so forth. That might be useful. One of the other ideas that might be useful is to create a move folder option.
I'll be right back.
This technically concludes the fourth chat on the Brilliant. This is part one. The part two will start on Sunday, September 23rd at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, 12 p.m. New Zealand, and 12 p.m. New Zealand, and 10 a.m. Australia on Monday. And due to popular demand, the third part will be conducted on Monday, right after the Tech Talk training session, when HumanWare staff are around. This concludes the recording portion of the fourth Brunel chat, part 1. KeySoft 7.5 is strengths and weaknesses, Brunel and next generation technology, and so forth.